And of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And it's that last verse there that especially, that our study on prayer tonight is especially concerned with. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, the physical features here are almost certainly symbolic. Otherwise, we will come to an understanding of the passage in which there is a woolly, bleating, seven-horned, seven-eyeballed mammal on the throne of heaven that somehow has the capacity to receive a scroll from someone's right hand. The 24 elders have harps. The Lord Jesus is presented to us as the Lamb. We know who the Lamb is because he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And he has been slain and risen again for us. The harps aren't difficult to understand either. They appear sometimes, harps appear sometimes in the Psalter, accompanying the singing of the saints. And we know that there were priestly clans who played instruments in the Old Testament worship that anticipated the priesthood of the Lord Jesus. So it doesn't tell us who the Lamb is. We know who the Lamb is. It doesn't tell us what the harps are. We know what the harps are. But it does tell us what the golden bowls full of incense are. And the golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. So the apostle gives us some explanation on those. But if we understand it rightly, if we're understanding this rightly, we're not going to see here a warrant for burning bowls of incense in the public worship of the Christian church any more than we're going to see a warrant for using harps or exclusive use of harps to other instruments in the musical accompaniment of the congregational song of the church, just as we do not believe that this means that there is a woolly, bleating, seven-horned, seven-eyeballed mammal on the throne of heaven. So the Lamb is the Lord Jesus, and the harps are associated with or the praise of the saints. And it tells us here the golden bowls full of incense are the prayers of the saints. Now, if you have familiarized yourself with the rest of Scripture, as the Lord teaches us to do, and I hope we are all pursuing more and more throughout the rest of our life on earth, we immediately think of Exodus chapter 30 and incense being used in the tabernacle, and the incense in the tabernacle being of a very particular recipe, so that if someone made incense of the same recipe, they were to be cut off from the people. So the incense in the tabernacle, which anticipated, it was a shadow, a copy of the heavenly thing that would come when our Lord Jesus would lead our worship from glory. The incense in the tabernacle was very special, very precious, very valuable. And so in the context of what Scripture teaches us about that, it says an amazing thing in this verse about our praying. that it is valued, that it is special, that it is treasured, even in the worship that takes place in glory. Now, we want to know which saints. This image of the incense being the prayers of the saints is going to appear a couple more times in John's Revelation. But which saints? I've already given away. It's the saints, especially on earth. Most of the time in the book of Revelation, the saints are believers who are still upon the earth. They are the ones with whom, for instance, Revelation chapter 13 tells us, the beast is still allowed to make war. The saints in glory, the beast can't touch. It's the woman on earth from chapter 12 that the serpent, the dragon, the devil continues to attack. And surely that is the still imperfect and yet set apart to God, holy ones. The saints are believers who are on the earth. So there's this word picture here in which John saw... or is relating to us what he saw in terms of our prayers being having a participation in the worship that takes place in glory. Now, it's wonderful to think and to remember that heaven is mindful of us. Sadly, we are not so mindful of heaven. We do not live well in this world as citizens of another kingdom, pleasing our great King in all of our eating or drinking or whatever we do. Our thinking of heaven is the exception rather than the rule. But the reverse isn't true. Hebrews tells us that the Lord Jesus always lives to intercede for us, that he is continuously mediating for us, thinking about us, loving us. One of the books, I hope they have enough of them, that said they had six in stock, so I bought all six. But sometimes when you do that, somebody else already had it, and it doesn't end up shipping. Thomas Goodwin's a Puritan. He has a wonderful little book, The Heart of Christ in Heaven, Towards Saints on Earth, demonstrating from the scripture that the Lord Jesus thinks about us, loves us, is mindful of us every bit as much and even more than the way we saw him interacting with people in the Gospels during the time of his humiliation. And that all of that tenderness and compassion and love that we saw in the Lord Jesus Christ has not been diminished by his ascension in glory, and is not diminished by the fact that he's receiving this worship and that... It's wonderful to think about him being mindful of us. But now we see here, and it's not surprising, right? Because when you and I are sinless, when you and I are finally come at last, and our up and down progress and sanctification that we've been making in this world is suddenly perfected when we come to die. That's one of the things we're looking forward to at our deaths, is being made perfect in holiness. When you and I are sinless, won't our minds be conformed to the mind of Christ? And won't our hearts be conformed to the heart of Christ? Sometimes we think of departed saints as being further from us, and it is true that we are no longer in their presence. But there is a sense in which a departed saint is more mindful of you and affectionate towards you than he or she has ever been during your earthly knowing of them. They are offering, as it were, presenting, joining with you in your praying on earth, and presenting and remembering, not mediating the way Christ is, but here pictured as having bowls full of our prayers, joining with us in spirit, as it were, in our praying. And so, glorified saints, being of the same heart and mind as the Lord Jesus, continuously present our prayers at his throne. Praise and prayer are joined together in our worship on earth. This is why even families that feel like they don't sing well, I try to encourage to sing in their family worship. Because the Lord has joined praise and praying together in the worship that he has given us in his word. And we see here that praise and prayer are joined together in the worship in heaven. And that even it is especially our prayers on earth with which the songs of heaven are joined. What an amazing thing it is then when we sit here on a Wednesday night, or you kneel by the edge of your bed, or wherever it is that you have private prayer or family prayer, and we form thoughts and we lift up our hearts and speak words. Not only is it heard by him who sits on the throne, but it is treasured and precious and offered and joined with by the glorified saints who are worshiping him. How acceptable and pleasing and worthy a thing believing prayer must be. It is offered through the merits of Christ and glorifies him. And even in glory, the imperfect prayers of the imperfect saints on earth, having been perfected by Christ, are offered as sweet incense unto God. When we think of what a wonderful thing then our praying is, our consciences reproach us that we are so slow to it. As multiple men have said, we go more reluctantly to prayer than our Redeemer went to his cross. Surely the simple fact that our praying glorifies Christ ought to be incentive enough for us to be quick to it and glad for it. But since we are dull of heart and not easily motivated, rather than reproaching us, at least in this particular text, we are given here a surprising and wonderful extra incentive to come to God and offer him prayer, because our prayers are treasured and offered and joined with in heaven, just like that secret recipe incense that was commanded for the tabernacle on earth in Exodus 30, verses 34 through 38. So it's a wonderful thing that we get to come to do together tonight, that we'll be doing when we hear this verse in the public worship Lord's Day morning. I hope when you hear Mr. Rentschler read it, that you will remember how our praying on earth is precious in glory and joined with there. So let us begin tonight with prayers of adoration. This week, especially expressing the sense we have of our own meanness, our own unworthiness, to draw near to God and speak to him. Let's begin together. We are unworthy of all the loving kindness and of all the faithfulness which you have shown to your servants.